Get Away Wednesday. Never heard that before, have you?
To Get Away
Friday. No, no.
You stole that from somebody.
Well, you know, I figured maybe I'll get away early this week. It's Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. 10/20/21, 18 minutes past the hour, in studio with Glenn Coble. Don't forget A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today, 12:10 until 1 p.m. And then today we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 until 7 p.m. tonight. So there you go, Glenn. Now, the day after you were on last week... And it's on the news report today. We had an interesting episode with the city auditor.
Mm-hmm.
The city auditor, Robert Landon, resigned. Mm-hmm. And the only reason we're talking about this is because we haven't had a chance to on this show.
Okay.
He resigned. Then there was some folderol about who the auditor is. And I believe that Robert Landon... Well, let me just... Here's what we know. The auditor resigned on Thursday... And not too long after that, the mayor appointed Martin Watts the interim auditor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The auditor then said he wasn't resigning until the Republican committee had chosen the new auditor, so the mayor had no right to put Martin Watts in there, so he fired Martin Watts. The auditor fired Martin Watts. Then they went back and said, you can't do that because you're no longer the auditor. So then Martin Watts became the interim auditor again, and then there was a third resignation letter that the former auditor sent, basically telling his story of what happened, but that's what happened. That's what's been going on in Marion.
Well, is that the legal steps that you have to take? Do you have to have whatever party... is representative of that.
That is what will happen, is that the party will pick the new auditor because they won that election.
But I assume that the mayor had to have somebody as auditor since the previous auditor resigned, so he was in the right to at least name somebody as a temporary, right?
Well, that's the confusion.
Okay.
Because the former auditor is saying he, in his letter... was meaning he's not leaving until the party picks a new auditor. And the mayor took it as, you're leaving today.
Yeah.
That's why he put the interim auditor in. Now, Mayor Schertzer told me in the interview Friday that he had consulted the city law
director
with that letter and said, is he gone today?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the answer was yes, and that's why he appointed an interim auditor.
But the interim is also from that party. He's a Republican, I believe, isn't he?
You know, I really don't know what party he is, but he worked in the office.
Yeah.
He was the deputy auditor.
Right. Okay. Yeah. A little confusing, and didn't seem like it needed to get any political relationship. I mean, yeah, of course he was a Republican, but that had nothing to do with it. He made a mistake, and it was good. I think he did the right thing in resigning so that he can now stand up tall and say, I did the right thing.
Well, does it bother you that in the resignation letter, the reasons he gives are his family and COVID, and never mentions the city's finances at all?
Well, later he mentions that he was upset with the mayor playing games with it. So, I don't know. It got... Just leave it alone.
I don't think... And anybody can read the letter. I guess it's up for interpretation. But if you read it, what Landon was saying was, I'm leaving because of my health and because of the political attacks I've been under. Not because I'm doing a bad job.
Well, I guess it seems to me that the facts are the facts.
Well, that's what the big question is, and this is what people got so tied in a knot about last week was, I don't understand why this is political.
Shouldn't be.
Because the auditor's not up for election this year. I don't understand why it has to do... You can like the person. You can like Robert Landon. You can like Mayor Schertzer. You can dislike them both. That's your business. But it would seem to me that this all came down to, is the auditor doing his job? And can people answer that without bringing baggage to the question? And the baggage I'm talking about is your political party.
Yeah.
And do you like the guy personally? Can you come to an honest answer without bringing that baggage to the answer?
Yeah, I believe that he is a friend of on my Facebook thing, and I think people have said very nice things about them. I truly believe he's probably a very nice man. I think he made some mistakes, and I think he ought to drop it. I think the idea of resigning is a good idea for the good of the community, and let your political party name somebody else. Nobody's saying, no, you can't. Of course, your political party's going to name somebody to take your place. I think that would have been a better response. It really kind of goes back to our last hour discussion. Leave it alone. Just move on. It's not... Nobody's saying anything. They said you made a mistake. That's what's been said. You didn't do the auditor things correctly. Either you did or you didn't, but it doesn't make any difference. If you've got COVID and you don't like being called names, first of all, you shouldn't be in politics if you don't like being called names. You don't have to like it, but if it really bothers you. But I would say because of the COVID, it's probably a good idea that he does get out.
Well, I guess, and I'm also confused about the attacks on the family. Now, was his family attacked?
I never saw that.
And if it was, I mean, let us know. But I
maybe
don't.
Maybe on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, maybe that could
social
happen.
Social media, yeah.
But I don't know. It's very confusing. It's very confusing to me, much like the police report. Well, there are two questions I have, and if somebody can answer them, I'm glad to take the answer. The two main questions and they are questions. Robert Landon, 2 weeks ago, wrote a note and sent it to all the media, in Marion, I believe. I got it. I'm sure the Star got it. That said, the books have been sent to the state, and they're backlogged because of COVID, and that's why we don't have an answer. A week to the day, the Associated Press called the state auditor and said, have you received anything from Marion? And the state auditor said no. Now, that's a question. Why did he say that?
Who's telling the truth and
who's
not?
Well, I don't think the state auditor's lying here.
Well, you don't know.
Well, okay. So what is that, number one? And his own deputy auditor said the same thing, that nothing had been sent down.
Okay.
Okay, so that's number one. And number two, why did you call the police on Josh Daniels and say that he stole your mail when a 40-something page police investigation, which was concluded by Chief J. McDonald and investigators, said that there was no mail to steal, that it was email?
Well, you know, and that's kind of a fine line to walk. Email, mail. But there are different rules to email and mail. If you steal mail...
That's a crime.
Yeah, that's a federal offense.
Right.
If you steal emails, you're just nosy.
Right, there's no crime.
Yeah.
It's not controlled by the federal government.
Right.
But, and it also in the investigation, Josh didn't steal anything. It was given to him, and he, being the chair of the finance committee, he had access to it.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, what are the answers to those questions? I don't understand how that could happen. You know, you're doing your job, people can rate that till the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
But those two things, I don't understand.
Yeah, they seem to have very definite answers.
And they were both done within 10 days of each other.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, you know, sometimes people react differently. Much like if you pick up a worm off the ground, you know, some worms will just try to slither away. Other worms will go crazy. And I'm not calling anybody a worm here, but I'm saying people respond differently. And maybe his response was a fight or flight response. And he decided fight was the way to do it. I don't know.
Well, this is politics. I guess. I guess this is where we have dropped in. I don't know. I wish it was better.
A lot of people in politics, including yours truly, have thick skins, but also thin skins at the same time. You're always aware that somebody's saying something about you because they're always saying something about you. And if you have a thin skin, even though you're trying to be thick-skinned, if you have a thin skin, it's going to get on you. And maybe he's not as heavy-skinned as he thought.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I have a question that I've been curious about for a while now. The auditor sent his resignation letter, but yet he had a beef because Butts was named interim auditor. Well, assuming, I'm guessing he liked Watts because he probably hired him, right?
We don't know that, though.
No, wait, Sam,
He thought they were friends because he got...
His
deputy was hired by him.
Well,
we don't know that, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because I believe the auditor would do the hiring in the auditor's office, and Martin Watts, I believe, was hired after this auditor became auditor.
All
yes.
Right.
Yeah, because I remember you saying that he went in there and he got rid of pretty much all the people that was in there.
I've heard that, yes.
Yeah.
He brought in his own people. Well, anyway... Now, Watts has been doing the auditor's job for how long now?
About 3 months he's had COVID.
Okay. So has he been doing the full job or has he been consulting with Landon? That's the question I have.
Well, you know, I don't know.
That's a good question.
I guess we'd have to talk to Mr. Watts or Mr. Landon. You know, Mr. Landon was not banned from calling or going in or getting emails during his illness from City Hall, so I would guess they were working in conjunction.
Yeah, see, that's why, it only makes sense that if the auditor leaves, the deputy auditor steps up.
Yeah, make sense, and I think that's what the mayor thought.
He's a Republican.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he probably wouldn't be working in the office with Landon.
Right.
So... See, that's the other question I have. Why does Landon have a gripe about who's in there as long as it's a Republican?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of shady things going on here, and I still think Landon's fashioned his political career after Trump because it sounds like everything Trump did. Deny everything and
no comment.
Well, I don't know. Clearly there has been a falling out between Watts and Landon because it's my understanding that Landon, when this all went down on Thursday, tried to fire Watts over the weekend when he found out he was made interim auditor. So yeah, I guess he would have been his employee.
Was he doing that as a strategic thing or was he doing that out of anger at Watts?
I don't know because I have no idea.
Yeah. We need to talk to Watts.
Yeah,
you should try to get Watts and see. I mean, he's apparently open to asking questions because you said that he's been in the mayor's office and everywhere asking questions about stuff he doesn't know, so at least he's got sense enough to do that.
Well, it's a complicated story, to be honest, because...
it's a confusing story.
Well, I know people like Landon, and I know that a lot of decisions were not necessarily made on the job he was doing. So that's why I call it a complicated story.
Yeah, you shouldn't judge anybody by personal stuff. You should judge somebody in this situation by the job they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, personality out of it. It's the work.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was in athletics, we didn't bring a recruit in because he was a real nice guy. Because we had a lot of really jerks that played basketball for us or football for
us. Yeah, but they were good basketball players.
Good basketball or football players, yeah.
Yeah, that's why you had them on the team. That's why you wanted them on the team, because we were good at what they did.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing in politics. You want somebody in politics that's good at what they do. Now, if you get somebody in there that apparently isn't good at what they do, then, you know, you need to put somebody in there that is good at what they do.
That's why I always wonder why anybody ever hired me.
I sometimes wonder that about jobs I had myself.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Good call.
You know, I don't know. I guess it's a question.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
I think he asked the key question.
Well, I don't know. I think that clearly over time, that obviously became a strained relationship.
Yeah, it must have been.
Between Watts and Landon.
Yeah.
But I don't, I still worry about the $2.5 million of federal money. If the state auditor is correct and the books still haven't been turned in for 2020, how long can this go on?
Yeah.
We got two extensions. The third extension was denied. And at this point, they're just waiting on something.
Now, are we going to, does that mean we're going to lose police officers and lose firemen and lose
senior center?
Yeah.
If the money is not able to be applied for, which my understanding, you got to have the books to do, and we don't have the books.
You would think so.
And it's apparently it's also hard at this point to put a budget together because we don't have the books.
Yeah.
You
can understand why the mayor was a little miffed.
Well, but do people end up disliking the mayor over this? How does this come off for him?
Well, that's the problem with our society right now as it is. They're going to, you know, the ones on the right side of the aisle are going to dislike the mayor, and the ones on the left side of the aisle are going to dislike Mr. Landon. And quite frankly, there's probably some room on both sides for dislike, but on both sides for... I understand that Mr. Landon is a very nice man, and I understand he's a very Christian man, or at least he goes to church a lot. And there's reasons to like both of those people.
But clear lines have been drawn.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And that's the way it goes. All right, let's have some fun now.
Okay.
Let's do a kerfluffle item. Now, have you ever played?
I don't even know what that
means. Well, you're gonna get in on kerfluffle now, Glenn. What happens is I pick an item in the studio. The item has to be in the studio.
Okay.
Has to be in the studio, and I will tell the listening audience what color it is. That's all I'm gonna tell them. What color it is. Then they can call me at 740-383-9944 and they can ask me any yes-no question about that item.
How many questions can they ask?
One question per call, and then also make a guess as to what the item is.
Okay.
And if they get it right, they're the kerfluffle champion for today.
And do you give them something?
I put them in a drawing usually, okay. But since we're not doing any drawing today, this will be a kerfluffle for fun.
Okay? That's hard to say.
Kerfluffle. Okay.
Alliteration.
Today's kerfluffle item, I got to pick something good. Okay. Today's kerfluffle item is black. There you go.
Holy cow.
Narrows it right down.
Yeah, it sure does.
Today's kerfluffle item is black. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You can ask me any yes-no question about that item that you want, and you can also make a guess as to what the item is. Will we get the kerfluffle item in the next 25 minutes? That's the story
today.
May
I ask a question?
What, you don't... Okay. But you can see...
Is it solidly black?
I you know, let the callers pick it up.
Okay, first caller asks that
question.
First
caller asks that. The kerfluffle item is black. Ask any yes-no question you would like about that, and the item is in the studio. 740-383-9944. So what's going on the Progressive Life today, 12 to 1?
Well, we're going to talk probably about, predominantly about Colin Powell's demise.
Oh, that is horrible.
It is, and it's bad for, you know, Colin Powell was a registered Republican who, toward the end of his career, the questions were asked, are you going to vote for Trump? And he said, absolutely not. And he basically lambasted Trump and thought Trump was bad for the system. He also did not vote for...
McCain,
yes, thank you.
Yes, he voted for Obama.
Yeah, he voted for Obama. So... you know, I like guys like that, people that are free thinkers that will be on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, but the Waterloo of Colin Powell will be.
Oh, we all know what that is.
We do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, during the Iraq War, he was the Secretary of State, and it was his job to go and make the case for war with Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And did he or did he not know what he was saying was untrue? Now, he said in his book, his book is different, to be honest with you, because to me, if you read that book, and I guess it's all interpretation, it implies that he didn't know that that he was fed lies by Rumsfeld and Bush, that and Cheney, that he did not know when he went down and made that case that it was false information. But then there were other schools of thought that says that he had to know, getting a security report like everybody else, and that he was just doing the bidding of his boss.
He doesn't strike me, in listening to all of his interviews throughout the years, he doesn't strike, and also he was a, what, three-star general? It doesn't strike me that that type of person is going to kiss derriere just to kiss derriere, and that's a word I learned last week in my family feud, by the way. But
I don't want to know what the category was for that to come up.
I'll explain later. I think that he was fooled. I think they were very good. Cheney was a very devious person, to say the least. I think he had very strong opinions, much like his daughter, who is doing a terrific job on the committee she's on. But I think he was very convinced that we had to do something about this, and I'm not so certain that Cheney wouldn't have made stuff up.
Well, I don't know. I would just think that somebody like Colin Powell, who had been around in, I think, three administrations at that point, to go make that case might have done some independent research, ask some more questions.
I think he did a lot of that. I was watching a show on him last night, and they said that he did. He went through lots and lots and lots of interpretations of his speech where he asked more and more questions of the powers that be in intelligence.
Well, but that war was sold on a lot of Colin Powell because people did trust him.
Yes, and I think they chose him because they knew that the general public liked the man. So, yeah, and they talked about that in the show last night.
So I don't know. Did he know? Didn't he know? I guess only he knows. But
my guess is he might have thought in the back of his mind that something might be going on because he asked so many questions and changed his speech so many times and asked so many questions of the intelligence people. I think he might have thought in the back of his head, maybe they're lying to me.
But in the end, he still made the speech to go.
Yeah, he had to say what he was told. And he got it from not the horse's mouth, but maybe the donkey's something or other. But he got it directly from the people that should have known the answer to that.
Well, I think, interestingly enough, what I find fascinating about Colin Powell is that he very well could have run for president.
Yes.
And maybe won.
Yeah.
And he chose not to.
They took a poll a little bit out from the election, and he was ahead by 16 points.
But, you know, a lot of that, at one point, was thought that he was scared for his family if he would run.
Yeah, and he basically said he didn't want, it wasn't something that was, it wasn't fire in the gut for him. He didn't really want that job. That was good.
Yeah, he's a very interesting historic person. And I think he will go down in history, probably, you know, he'll go down well, but boy, that Iraq thing will hang.
And he knew that. And on this show that I was watching, he told the people around him he knew that's what was going to be hanging around his neck when they wrote his obituary. So,
but it was sad that it was, his family said, COVID complications.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he had the same disease that my sister died from, something myeloma, and my sister's immune system gave way. My sister also lived probably 20 years knowing she had that disease. It just kept wearing down her immune thing, and the people now that are trying to say, look, I told you that the vaccines don't work. The guy had three strikes against him, and he was going up to bat. I mean, he was in trouble when this...
Well, tell people what the three strikes were. One was the cancer.
Yeah, he had cancer. He had, what was it? Something else. It wasn't diabetes. It was some other disease. He was 85.
Yeah, he was 84, I think.
84. But he had two very bad diseases, and I can't remember what the second one was. But
so that he's an interesting figure in the history of the world.
And somebody that I would like to emulate. I like a person that's brave enough and honest enough to be, you know, he stepped forward. It took him, less than 2 years to step forward and say he was wrong. Whereas most politicians, they will go to their grave without saying they were wrong.
You know, I was thinking the other day, don't you think the reason most people don't do that who want a future in politics, the reason they don't go to the other side, the reason they don't give their opinion, is because they know that will be the end of their political career, because people are so ready to critique them now.
Well, like Cheney's daughter, she knew darn well when she came out and said she would be on that committee. That could be the death knell. But quite frankly, that may be something that really saves her. The people that are honest Republicans, and there are way more honest Republicans than the ones we listen to all the time on the Hill, those people are going to vote. Whereas the people on the Hill, they may not give her a plum of a committee appointment, but they don't vote for her. So, I don't know. I don't like her positions on a lot of stuff, but she seems like an honorable woman. She actually has made me think her father was more honorable than I used to think.
Well, the history of this is fascinating to me, because we are now at a point where the party means everything. You know, mm-hmm. It's funny, because a Democrat will commend a Republican who goes against their party. Well, of course you will, because that's what you want. You don't want them to agree with their party. That's no big surprise. But, you know, I don't know if they always do really disagree. If you really don't disagree, then why would you disagree?
There are too many disagreements in that.
Well, I'm just saying, if you really believe one thing, why would you not vote that way?
Well, let's face it. There are dozens of people right now in politics in Washington, D.C., that do not believe about the big lie, but they're sticking with it because of political expediency.
Could be.
Yeah, I know. The people that disagree with me would say, well, that's not true. They really do believe that. But if you listen to real reporters, you'll find out that most of them say, well, in the back room, they'll tell you, yeah, I really don't believe that the election was stolen. Yeah.
Well, but how many people have had to become that way because the other side is so vicious?
Yeah, and I'm afraid that's the direction we're going right now. There are a lot of Democrats that are have their shields up because of how vicious the Republicans have been. And believe me, there have been times where the Republicans have had to have their shields up because of how vicious some of the Democrats have been. But I don't know. It's a tough time to be around, and I certainly would hate to see us lose our democracy because of it. And that's one of the reasons why I watch less and less television is because I hate to hear people saying we're going to do away with our democracy if we allow this to go on, even though I know it may be true, because we have less democracies now for the first time in a long time than we have autocracies throughout the world, and that's kind of scary.
Do people really believe that, though? I wonder, do people really believe that we're on the verge of the end of everything this country's been
about? I worry about that, too, because I think there are a lot of people that base arguments on scaring the other person, and that may be a technique that some of these people are using. If that's what they're doing, they ought to knock it off.
Well, I mean,
tell
us
the truth.
I think back to January 6th. I mean, that was as nasty an attack on the Capitol as we have seen in a long, long time, but it did not It didn't do anything to the internal workings of government. Nothing. Just delayed the vote till later that night.
It didn't do anything strategically, but it may have done something mentally to all those people that were involved.
Oh, Well, people got killed that day.
Yeah, but
It didn't overthrow the government. It didn't come close to doing that. Nobody.
There are questions on whether it came close. I agree with you. I don't think it came close, but.
Well, I'm not even sure what storming into a building.
What would they have done? Yeah.
Yeah. What would they have done?
Nothing. Yeah. There was, even if they had won, even if they had gone in and found Cheney, hung him, and shot Pelosi, what would that have done? It would just have made all hell break loose. That's all it would have done. It wouldn't have necessarily
Pence,
changed.
Right?
Yeah.
Pence, not Cheney.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand even what that. I'm still confused on what the purpose was.
You know what I'd like to know. Is what the true percentage of people that went there just because, hey, there's a crowd, let's go.
Stop the vote? Was that the purpose?
That was supposedly the purpose. But, that was the stated purpose by the president, yes.
Yeah, but what would that have done? Delayed it, which it did, till later on that night.
Yeah, but if they could have delayed it longer, they were trying to get to the point where they could say they couldn't use the electoral vote so that it would have gone to a vote of the Congress of who was the president, and that I think they thought they could control that.
Do you think that would have happened? Because when it came right down to it,
I hope it would.
Well, hey, when it came right down to it, President Trump's vice president did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, he did, but. If you listen to him, well, he had to go to former vice president.
Pence.
Yeah, no. Former Quayle.
Quayle.
He had to go to Quayle and say, well, don't you think I ought to do this? And if you believe what Bob Woodworth reported, it sounded to me like he was really trying to find a way so he could do what Trump had told him to do. But Quayle was basically saying, that's against the law. You can't do that. And he kept.
He went to Dan Quayle?
Wasn't it Dan Quayle?
Why Dan Quayle?
I don't remember. I'm not sure I'm absolutely.
The guy who couldn't spell potato?
Yeah, I think so. Is he from Indiana?
Yeah. Well,
yes, that's who he went to.
His. Dan Quayle.
He went to Dan Quayle.
Of all the people he could have went to, he went to Dan Quayle.
Well, they're both Republicans.
Yeah, but he's been
retired. They're both Hoosiers, and they both were vice presidents. So it's logical, I guess. But he was really trying to get Quayle to convince him that he was right to go ahead and stop the vote.
I don't think it would have ever happened, though. I don't even think if Quayle was not there. I think eventually you have people around you when you're at that level of government. When you're the vice president, you've got people advising you. You've got people in your office. You've got people in the Senate who have been your friends for years. You know what you can do and what you can't do.
I'm going to say something that you're not going to like.
Go ahead.
I think you're naive as hell.
You think? No, I don't. That's fine. So you think the people around him would have said, do it?
Yes, I do, because I think the people around him were all invested in Trump.
Yeah, but what would that have done?
Made Trump president again, continue to be president.
But didn't the people in the Senate vote to elect Joe Biden? I mean, it wasn't Pence didn't swing the vote.
No, but if he had stopped the vote, then they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you think all those senators who ended up in the end voting for Biden to cast, that they all would have been okay with that?
They might have. I think that was their shot. And I'm glad that it didn't work, but I think that was his shot.
I just don't know. I just think...
No one knows, because
it didn't happen. No, but I would imagine that, you know. That's an awful, awful big thing to do, and I'm not even sure it would have kept Trump as president, because there was a Congress at that point which was Democrat. There was a Supreme Court. I mean, what are they going to rule? We don't have... I don't even know what you would rule. Because the vice president didn't call for the vote, we keep the president we have?
That's what the intent was. I'm a firm believer in that after listening to lots of different voices talking about it. I believe they thought that might happen.
That just sounds conspiratorial to me.
Well, it is conspiratorial.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't it... your car had broken down on the way over there, or you'd left the country for a month. I mean, couldn't any of these things have happened?
Why did he call Georgia and ask the Secretary of State to find him 11,780?
No, I think that was Trump's intention.
Yeah, he did that in, like, five states, asking them to find votes.
Yeah.
And that's what was the background of that whole thing.
Well, yeah, I think that was Trump's intention, but I don't think that was ever Pence's intention.
Well, Pence was trying to kiss up to Trump.
Well, Pence probably wanted to keep his job.
That's right.
But I'm just saying, I don't know what he really could have done in the end. If he hadn't shown up that day to do the vote, I think the senators would have said, what? I think the congressmen would have said, what? I think the media would have said, what?
I think the Republican senators would have gone along with him, and I think most of the Republican congressmen would have gone along with him.
Not hold a vote?
Yep. I think that would
have. Wouldn't you eventually have to do it? You got to show back up some point.
Well,
you're going to have 4 years of no...
Not if you said it was stalemated and you had to go to the Congress to get a vote other than a popular vote. No, I think it could have happened.
I just think the way the media is now, and I think the way that politics and the parties are...
I can hear Fox News thinking that's a terrific idea.
Maybe, but I certainly don't think that the other organizations would think that's a terrific idea. And I don't think, I mean, it's much like when that phone call happened. It was on the news immediately, and people were all over it, and people wanted investigated and done and this and that. Heaven forbid the vice president doesn't show up to take the vote.
Well, I agree with you in theory, but I also agree with the idea that it could have, and that the intention was...
Why would he write that? Where is this information that Pence called Quayle and all this back room went
down?
It's
been reported by more than one organization, so I'm assuming that this... I heard it on NBC. I think I've heard it on... I know I've heard it by CNN, and those two for sure.
Here's what I believe. Now, this is just my non-naivete... thought on this.
Now, wait a minute. You're going to tell us something as an expert, much like Adam this morning told us as a pseudo-expert.
No, I'm no expert
about
on this.
Masks.
But my guess is that Pence never doubted for a second what he was going to do, and that those senators, Republican, never doubted for a second what they were going to do. I think what Pence was worried about, if he did call Dan Quayle, and what he was worried about when he showed up...
I think
up
it's been documented that he talked to Dan Quayle.
If he did, then I think what he really was worried about, no matter what is said or reported, what he really was worried about is, I'm going to run for president in 4 years. How do I not tick off these Trump voters?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he ever thought about not holding the vote. I think he thought, what is the best way to do this that I don't tick these people off?
That's almost as devious as wanting to kiss his...
Well, that's
boss's
politics. that's political.
Now, see, it doesn't have to be. That's what I ran for. We need to fight that. But
well, you're going to have to ask Mike DeWine.
We're going to have to get money out of the formula.
Well, you have to ask Mike DeWine about that come the Republican primary in May, because... when somebody comes into a state and is supported by Donald Trump at this point, they seem to win.
Yeah.
And Mike DeWine is the sitting governor.
That all goes back to the nickels and dimes that they keep bugging me to give them.
Yeah, but is that really... At this point, I think people just like Donald Trump, and they believe what he says, and blah-dee-da.
I used to tell my mother things time and time and time again that were lies. Eventually, she would start to believe that I was telling her the truth. And that's a mother-son thing.
But that's no lie, though. I mean, if Trump really does like Renacci better than DeWine, that's not a lie.
But we don't know whether he likes him better. We know he doesn't like DeWine because DeWine hasn't kissed his ring.
Well, I don't know if he has or hasn't.
No one knows that.
I don't know what DeWine has done. I know that Trump did campaign for him the last time around.
Yeah, but they were having an outs in the last It'll last you.
I think the pandemic is probably where they went on the outs.
I think you're probably right. Yeah.
But I think that's where DeWine went on the out with his entire party.
Yeah, because they're all standing up for their commander-in-chief.
So, you know, I think that's the effect that Pence was worried about. I think Pence was worried about, how do I run for office in 4 years?
Your expert opinion is no stronger than mine.
Well, look at this Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley.
Boy, did she change.
Yep. Oh, no, but I don't think she did. I think Nikki Haley.
No, she changed her coat, is what she did.
Oh, did she?
It's just the covering.
No, Nikki Haley, I don't think, believes any different than she ever has in her entire career. But I think what Nikki Haley is making a calculated bet on is, I want to run for president. If Donald Trump runs for president, he's going to be the nominee, period. There's no doubt in my mind at this point. But if he doesn't run, I need him to endorse me. Mm-hmm. So I got to back him right now in everything he believes. So, you know, that's, you can call it what you want, but
I call it cowardice.
Well, what if she does believe it? See, we don't know.
No, but we don't know anything. So both of us are supposing something that neither one of us know the truth. As a matter of fact, I don't think anybody knows the truth.
No, but I do think what is the truth, and I do think if the election were held now, it would be proved out, is that if you do not have the support of Donald Trump in a Republican primary for president, you probably won't win at this point.
What if he goes to jail between now and then? And now he's
still endorse people.
Yeah, but do you think people will still... Well, they endorsed... They knew he'd said that thing about grabbing a woman by the genitals, and if you're going to endorse him and vote for him after something like that, then I guess you don't really care who you vote for.
Well, and all this anger about Melania, you know, because of what they heard she said or did, you know, what has she done? I don't know.
What significance does she
hold? Well, I heard somebody talking, was it on The Progressive Life last week?
I might have
caught that she was the worst first lady of all time.
Yeah, Dr. Feynman does.
Now I don't know. There have been some doozies in the first lady category.
I don't think any of us know much about the first ladies.
Go ahead, caller.
Are you still doing that kerfuffle?
Oh, yeah. Give me a question.
Well, how big is this black object?
Well, it's got to be a yes-no question.
Oh, is it smaller than a toaster?
Yes, smaller than a toaster.
Is it like a soundboard or something like that?
Not a soundboard, but that's a good guess.
That is a good guess.
Also, the other day I never did hear the answer of what the green object was.
Tape. It's tape on the desk.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing.
We are out of time on this show, but you know, I'm not saying she's not the worst first lady, but then I also think of people who have been first lady. I don't think, I don't know.
Mrs. Lincoln?
Mrs. Lincoln probably wasn't the best first lady there ever was, and I don't think necessarily that Laura Bush didn't do a whole lot when she was first lady, and I don't necessarily think that, we don't know what, I don't know where she was, and these early first ladies, I don't think we know much about them at all, pre-20th century.
We don't. And we'll have to ask Fred Malone when he comes on in a week.
Well, and what about Florence Harding? You know, she had some, she's a tough lady, but
Fred's going to be on tomorrow.
All right. Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned.
We're in campaign talk, but there's a lot of work to do in this state. The Sebring water, poisoning of the water there with lead, the state didn't do anything about. And, you know, the state needs to focus on the charter school scandal and all these problems that Ohio has that nobody's paying attention to because the governor's running for president. So I'm just hopeful he comes back to the state, realizes that this race is not his to win at this point when you're so far behind, even if he wins Ohio and comes back and does the work we need.
And on being Hillary Clinton's vice president.
Very interesting. Before I let you go, Senator Brown, and I thank you for your time, The Hill reported today that a possible Clinton-Brown ticket could be...